Christian men rejoice, give heart and soul and voice. Hear ye well to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Call ye one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Good Christian men rejoice. Good Christian men rejoice.
Thank you, guys. Born to save. And that's what we got to continue to keep on our minds. Born to save, not just born to have a nice manger scene. Born to save. And we praise the Lord. That is the end. Well, it's not even the end. He saved us so that we could live to do good works for him and to bring him honor and glory. We need to remember that as we please him in our personal lives, but also then in our corporate lives. We exist to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. Isaiah chapter 9 is a familiar passage. This is a prophetic passage speaking of our Lord's birth. And you know it very well. It is quoted very much at Christmas time and even other times of the year. But we know it to be a Christmas passage. We're going to be looking at just a small phrase here that I want you to see that I trust will be a blessing to you this morning. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Before we read that verse, have you ever been part of a team? Well, we think of sports, but it's more than sports that we're a part of a team. A group of people that you are cooperating with to accomplish something. You have a group of different people. Maybe sometimes there are different positions. Maybe there are times where there are different talents and abilities, but you're a part of a team. You might have been a part of a team at work. All right, there's maybe a boss and maybe some managers, maybe ownership. Then there's team leaders, and then you're part of the a group of people, but you're all working together to accomplish something. So maybe at work, you can think of a team of people that you've been a part of. Maybe you were a part of a sports team, and you can think back to the team mentality there on the, you know, maybe the basketball court or maybe the whatever activity that you played in. But there was a team effort, and you were thankful for the other abilities and talents that were on that team to help you accomplish, because by yourself, you couldn't have done it by yourself. And so it took a group of people to accomplish the team. Whatever the case is, whether it's at work, whether it's, you know, even the home can be a team of people, a team to accomplish something. For us, you know, there's a team of people to keep the house picked up. And it does take a team. A family's got to realize that it's more than just mom at home to keep the house picked up. In fact, if you have any sort of a decent size of a family, it takes a whole lot more than mom or dad. It takes a whole team to keep the home picked up and presentable so that you can operate in the right way. And there can be a team effort in all kinds of different ways in which we use team effort. We have been put on this earth with other people. And in most cases, we're working with other people to accomplish certain tasks. Okay, so the team effort. Have you ever been on a team where you were established for a while and you knew who your team was, you knew who this was the this was, you know, this his role and this was her role, and you had it established. You kind of, you make a name for your team, okay? And again, I'm not talking about the, you know, the name of, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? They have a name, but it's a name. When I say the name, it's something, you're known by an ability. This team has the ability to do this. This team produces this. This team is well skilled in this area, and your team develops a reputation. You're on the positive side of what you can do, and on the negative side maybe of things that you're not capable of doing. This team might not be capable and maybe not even intended to do certain things. This team is not for that purpose, okay? So you, after a certain amount of time, you develop a team reputation. Maybe I should put it that way. A team reputation of what you're known by. And then as you operate, and maybe it was a business that you run, and you had a team of people that worked under you, and you do certain things, have you ever had somebody then join your team which changed the dynamic some? Maybe you heard of somebody that had some unique skills that was never on the team before. Oh, we're going to be getting this person at work that they are highly skilled in. Your team was joined by a person that was very technical, and you never had that before. And now a person is joining your team, and they're coming to you, joining the team, and it's going to change your reputation. I want you to think about that just a little bit. Doesn't matter if it's a sports team. It doesn't matter if it's a team at work, or doesn't matter. You know, members are added to family sometimes. Through maybe a birth, maybe an adoption, and it changes the dynamic of the team that's there. Maybe it adds more work, but maybe there's an ability there that we have a new team member, and it now is changed. And I'm mostly thinking in a very positive way in this illustration. Positively, your team was not known by this, but now this new team member is going to add another dynamic that was never experienced by the team before. But just because that individual, let's say that that individual had, let's go back to the work illustration. Let's say that you're a boss, or you're, let's say that you have 10 people under you. And it just wasn't the dynamic of that team to have a very technical person on board. You've always had to hire out for the technical part. You had to get somebody to work on your website or to build your website. You had to get that person to make changes. You had to get somebody to maybe some sort of a designer to do all of your graphics. Maybe you had to hire all that out. That your team was not known by that. Now all of a sudden, another individual is going to join your team that has those abilities. Okay, are you with me in my illustration here? All right, so somebody else is going to join your team. Now, we know that the team, before this individual comes, is a team that is not known for this. But this individual is now coming and joining your team. So let's say now they are a part of our team. We no longer look at just them as an individual that possesses this thing. Now they're part of your team. And there's a unique ability that I can now say, as maybe the boss of this group, that I can proudly say, we do provide that service. And we can take care of this ourselves. You see, this person is joining up with you, and you now become something else. Okay, now do you understand that? Now look down at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. There's a phrase there that has stepped out of the ordinary in my mind and made an impact. We read in the very first few words in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, some words maybe that you've never thought about in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, this verse tells us about a lot of credentials that of an individual, don't they? Now, this morning, we're not going to look at all their credentials. I started off thinking that we were, but we're not. It would have gotten much more longer than what I had time for this morning. But I started off thinking about, the government being upon his shoulder. Started off thinking about his name being called Wonderful and Counselor and the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But I didn't make it past the first statement. For unto us a child is born. I'd like to look this morning at a few moments at the phrase unto us. Unto us a child is born. What does it mean, unto us? You know, the idea of unto us is there's another person that's joined the team, if I could put it that way, and I don't mean that irreverently. Honestly, we're kind of, when we get saved, we join his team, is really the way it is. But really quickly, what do you think is being meant here when he says unto us? Now, we could look at it a couple different ways. I think very specifically, this passage is written to who? The Jews, right? You know what? To the Jewish people, unto them, if I could change the pronouns, unto them, there was a child that would be born. He was a Jew. Unto the Jews, there was a child born. There was another Jewish child. There was a Jewish child that was going to be born unto them, and he would be part of them. He would join their team, if I could, again, not irreverently put it that way. There would be another individual that joined the team. And he would bring a number of credentials and abilities to this team, if I could put it that way. But I would say that it's more than unto us Jews. I'm not a Jew, but if I put myself in that verse, and unto us Jews, I would say it's more than just the Jewish people. I would say, let's even get more broad there, and I would say that it could be to mankind, right? For unto mankind is born. We know that Christmas has a lot to do with the incarnation. Do you understand that word, incarnation? That's a fancy theological word that says that somebody was made flesh. They were incarnated. They were put into a fleshly form. And of course, that was Jesus. He came, God in fleshly form came to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? There was a person, there was an individual here that joined the team of humanity. And that thought alone is amazing, that God in his deity would join the team of humanity. You know what, I tell you what, the team's doing really good to have God come on their team. Again, not irreverently. A tremendous blessing. Unto us, the Jews say, unto us, humanity says. A church, unto us. Faith Bible Church, unto us. We here as Christians, unto us. I want to tell you something, that this church is nothing without Jesus Christ. But unto us, a child has been born. I want to tell you something. We are joined to Jesus' team, really. But I want to tell you something. We are blessed, church, to have Jesus on the team. It's a blessing. It's an amazing thing. What could our church accomplish without Jesus? What's the answer? Absolutely nothing. We would have nothing. Now you think, well, Pastor, we would have something because we've got a very talented individual over there, and this lady over here, well, she's a gem and she could do so much, and this guy over here, you know, and truly God has given to us, but we remember that without him we have nothing and we are nothing. In fact, we are not anything. The church is nothing without Jesus. We wouldn't exist. We are only because he is a part of our team. And I could say, you know, unto the family is born Jesus. The family apart from Jesus is nothing. Jesus is necessary for the husband and wife and the children to make up a family unit. Jesus is important and necessary to be the godly family that we need to be. And we can take this into all kinds of practical applications. But I, as I told you before the preaching started, this is a very personal application here that I want to make today. As we see the phrase, "For unto us a child is born," I want you to say to yourself, "For unto me a child is born." For you. Do you know that Jesus was born for you? Unto us. So we're kind of coming to the humanity, but specific, individualistic humanity. For unto me is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For unto us is born. Unto us a son is given. Unto me. You see, this phrase, unto us, makes it very personal. Who is this individual? Who is now one of us? One of us. He came from his honor and glory in heaven. He came to this earth in humanity. He came to be one of us. I want to tell you something. It means the world that Jesus became one of us. You know, if God were just God in spirit, and he is in spirit, if God were just God in spirit, we could argue, and I think it would still be a bad argument, that he doesn't understand. He doesn't know what I'm going through. Now, there would be flaws in that, because God knows and understands everything, right? Amen. He does. But I want to tell you something. He made a great statement when he came to that manger. Because he said, I want you to know and experience. I want you to understand something, Christian. I want you to understand, sir. I want you to understand, ma'am. I want you to understand, teenager and child. I want you to understand something. I'm coming down to be one of you. My friend, I want you to see this morning the comfort that this phrase brings to you and to me. I am one of you. For unto us a child is born. My friends, it brings a lot of hope. It brings a lot of care. Unto us. I'm reminded in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that word among us wasn't just a separate type of a being, just observing and looking and from the outside. No, I am come to be among you. I am to be come to be one of you. I am right with you. I love the way Jesus demonstrated that with his disciples. He was one of the team, and we know he was the leader of the team for sure. But he was there with them. He was there doing what they did. He was there as their group. He wasn't one of the 12, but he was that 13th one. He was that extra one that was there. And of course, he was the one. He's the whole point of the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples wouldn't even be together if they hadn't had Jesus. It's the same with all of us, okay? It was the disciples joining his team. But so to speak, the team of disciples had a tremendous team player on their team that made everything to them, okay? And that was Jesus. And Jesus was one of them. He dwelt among them. I love one of my favorite passages, Philippians chapter 2. Remember Philippians chapter 2, which talks about us not looking on our own things, but on the things of others. But in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, it makes all of this, you know, God telling me, make sure you don't do this and make sure you don't do that, to saying, listen, and I'll demonstrate it for you in my own self. Let me come down here and I'm going to demonstrate to you what it means to look not on your own things, to look on the things of other people, to live your life in ministry for other people. He says, let me come down among you and demonstrate that. I am so grateful that God, if I could put it that way, God came down to us, not just to tell us what to do, but to live what to do, and then say, now I want you to do it. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? You ever had some leader tell you what to do, yet they never one time touched that work? And what develops with that? It develops a bad attitude because you say, you know what, they always tell me what to do, but they never are willing to do it themselves. You know what, one of the greatest leadership qualities that a person can have is a leader that will get down and they'll do the same things as their people, right? Have you ever respected a leader that you find them doing the same things, that they don't look at themselves any better than you? My friend, could I tell you that Jesus was that kind of a leader? He didn't say, you know what, I'm God, now you do this for me. And by the way, that's okay. Because he's God. But God knew the human heart, and he said, I'm still, even though they don't need it, and though they don't deserve it, I'm going to give it to them anyway. And he sent Jesus to come down among us. Isn't that a blessing? This is the Christmas story here. For unto you, for unto us, a child is born. We're talking about somebody that came among us. Somebody to live out what God is requiring of us. And by the way, Jesus didn't skip any quarters. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to pull out my ticket here and I'm going to use it because I'm God and I don't have to do that. And again, I'm not being irreverent to Jesus, to God. He didn't do that. He didn't say, I want you to do this, but no, don't ask me to do it. My friends, I want to tell you, in fact, anything that he would ask us to do, times 100 he did. It doesn't even compare what he's asking us to do. It's a blessing unto us. And that's what we want to talk about. My friends, you're here this morning. I want you to know that Jesus came unto you. He came unto you, not just to live a life before you and to demonstrate, but he came unto you. And in fact, what I want to bring out this morning is not just, well, he demonstrated it, now you do it. That's really not the point of this morning. The point of this morning is I want you to see he came among you to be a blessing to you, to be an encouragement to you, and to comfort you. So as we go through a few points this morning, I want you to see that he came to be and dwell among you, to be with you. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born. You know, when we look at the phrase unto us, we're talking about a person who understands us. You know that when Jesus came unto them, he understood what they were going through. In fact, there are many places in the Bible that tell he understood. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, he's with a group of people and he says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts. You know, a lot of times Jesus knew what the Pharisees were already thinking. Because he came and dwelt among us. He came as a human being and he came down. He knew as God, he knew, but as an individual, he knew where they were going with things. He knew. He dwelt among them and he knew what they were thinking. He understood what they were going through as a human being. Did Jesus ever get hungry? Of course he did, because he was human. You know what? Does God get hungry? Well, in Jesus' form, but God is a spirit. But he gave a person through Jesus to come down and understand what it meant to be hungry. Is it important that Jesus understands what it means to be hungry? Of course it is. Because he can relate with you. That's the point, by the way, that I want to get to you this morning, is Jesus knows how to relate to you. There are some people that don't know how to relate, right? Because they've never been there. They don't understand what it means to not have money. They don't understand what it means to not have everything at their fingertips. They don't understand because they don't relate. You see, Jesus came to relate with you. He understands what it means to be tired. Did Jesus ever get tired? Yes. Jesus got tired. In fact, he went to the mountains to retreat because he was tired. Did he ever get tired of being with other people? No. Well, he retreated. But I want to tell you something, my friends. He understands everything that we're going through, all the emotions. Does Jesus understand your emotions? What do you think? He understands your emotions when you're sad. You ever been sad? Have you ever been frustrated? Now, we got to be careful here because Jesus never sinned, okay? But I want to tell you something. There were times when he was with some of his own people, and it was a frustrating situation. I can't tell you exactly how that works because I'm not him. But I know one thing is that he was maybe angered upon, and yet he didn't sin with that. And we can't relate. But I want to tell you something, that he understands our emotions. You know, I think about that woman caught in adultery. And those better than thou people caught her, brought her to Jesus and says, what are you going to do with her? Right? What are you going to do with this lady? And what did they expect Jesus to do? Get out of here, you wicked woman. You don't have any opportunity. You know, you don't have any right to be in my presence. Get her out of here. And what they saw Jesus do was absolutely amazing. Do you know that Jesus understood the position and situation of that lady? He understood. How do we know that he understood? You know what? Did he understand that she was wrong? Yes. What did he say? He told her, he said, leave, but don't sin anymore, right? So he knew what was right. He knew what she ought not to do. He says, go and sin no more. But I'll tell you what, did he care about what she was going through with all of the results of that sin? I mean, right now, she's standing there, and there's a bunch of better than thou people standing around in their religious robes, pointing their fingers, and he understood what she was going through. And I would say in his compassion and his care, he felt bad for her. That doesn't mean that he negates the you know, your sin will, you know, be careful because your sin is going to find you out. You see, Jesus was love and mercy and truth all together in one. And yet he understood what she was going through. He understood. You remember the little children that were being pushed away by the religious leaders as well? And we don't have time for them. And Jesus said, come unto me, right? And we see the stories of, you know, little children sitting on Jesus' lap and, you know, and whatever he was doing. And I don't exactly know what Jesus did with the little children, but I want to tell you that Jesus had compassion. He cared. He understood the need of a child, didn't he? Hey, children, you know, he didn't come to the adult and say, hey, come and sit on my lap. But to the children, he said, come over here, little children, come unto me. He knew that that's what children need and how they could come to him. Do you know, my friend, that he knows exactly what you need as an individual? He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're thinking. He knew your struggles. You know what, this morning, and I'll just flat out tell you, you think that the pastor shows up every Sunday morning all happy and excited and nothing, and he's just got a fire burning in his heart to share the gospel. I want to tell you something. And Rick knows because I asked prayer for it before we came in. There was a lot going through my mind this morning. I felt so much. There was a lot of spiritual things. There was emotional things. There were just things from just this past week. You know, you do all this Christmas stuff that's good and all, but it can be a distraction if you're not careful. And I'll tell you that I got here this morning and I felt like there was just a lot going on, and it started to panic me because I said, I got to get up here in just a little bit and I've got to preach this message. And I said, I can't even keep my mind on one thing right now. I just felt so much. I felt like I was being pulled in 100 different directions. I really did. And I was starting to panic about it because you can't preach a message when you're being pulled in all kinds of directions like that. Well, you can preach one, but that's about where it will end right there. And I was concerned about it. Lord, I need you. But do you know something? That I can go to God through Jesus and I can say, God, I need you to help me. And see, Jesus, because he was a human, because he came and dwelt among us, can understand that. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's really where the rubber meets the road here. Jesus understands when you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, Lord, my mind is everywhere and I don't feel focused. I don't feel able. I don't feel I've got the strength. I don't feel it. And I've had days like that. I don't feel like I don't feel spiritual enough. You ever felt that way? I don't feel like I'm spiritual. I don't feel like I'm, and if that's the reality and truth, well, except the Jesus Christ, I am. But we don't feel all these things. But can I tell you, my friend, when Jesus came and was dwelling among us, when Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us," he's saying, "I'm giving you somebody to join the team that understands everything. Every dynamic." And can I say, I'm not just talking about the team here. Whether that's family, whether that's work, whether that's church, whether that's a race of people like the Jews. Whatever it is, he understands. But my application to you is he understands what you are going through right now. You ever heard somebody say, nobody understands? Maybe not. Now, can I say this? This is kind of a timeout. Step aside. Probably somebody else does understand a lot of what you're going through because there's nothing new under the sun. Did everybody hear that? We all. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is, you tell me the next words, common to man. We get ourselves in a bind. I think it's a major obstacle. And it's a misnomer, it's not the truth to think that nobody understands what we're going through. Nobody knows. They've never had this happen. And Pastor, you've never had this happen. I've had people tell me before, nobody understands all the things that I go through. And you know, I didn't say it, by the way. But I wanted to say, you know what? I know somebody that sits in pews, the same pews that you do every Sunday morning right here at this church, that has gone through a whole lot more. Now, I want you to know that I don't compare you with other people. Understand, every one of our situations is a big deal. Every one. So it's not the mentality of like, oh, you don't know because they've got it harder. I'm just saying my thoughts to them is, that's not true. This person over here is going through just as, in fact, it's silly to say just as hard or not as hard, right? You know, when a child, when they're really young, and they got that Christmas present, and something happened to it, the very morning they opened up and it ruined, and they went crying, and buried their head in their mommy or daddy's lap, and they're broken because they're, and you think, oh brother, who cares? Do you know that that's real to that individual? Justice for you at your age and something else is going on that is big, it's just as big of a deal. And the neat thing is Jesus cares about both. So what I want you to understand is this, that all of our struggles are real struggles and we need to care about everybody, but it's silly to think that I'm on my own island and nobody else understands. Guess what? We do understand, but that is not even the point. If nobody did understand, Jesus does. Amen. Because for unto us a child is born. Unto us. He knows right where you're at. This morning when you woke up and you had your struggles, or yesterday, or maybe tomorrow, Monday, you know, it's Christmas is all over. And back to reality. You go back to work and guess what? He knows exactly. See, he understands and he knows. And can I add another word to this? And he cares. He doesn't just understand and know. He cares. He cares. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Did Jesus understand that they were hungry? Yes. Did he have compassion on them? Yes. Did he demonstrate his compassion? Yes. What did he do? He fed them. He took care of their need. He cares about what you're going through. He understands and he cares. My friend, I want to tell you something. When we read, "For unto us a child is born," we have a person that cares and he wants to meet our need. He wants to come right there and help us. When my child is hurting, and when they're struggling, when they're crying, when that thing breaks or they didn't get this or whatever happened, I'm there with my arms around them trying to comfort them and help them. But I want to tell you something, times 100 or a whole lot more, that Jesus cares about what you personally, right now, today, are going through. Jesus cares about you. We know this because Isaiah 9:6 tells us, for unto us a child is born. Such a blessing. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Did you hear that? That's Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our grief. Sir, ma'am, today the grief that you have, surely he hath borne it. Why? Because he is among us. Because he is one of you. He knows. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Sometimes our sorrows are so heavy and we feel like we're the only one carrying it. No, Jesus can carry your sorrows. He cares. Jesus cares about what you're going through. Job says in Job 28:23, God understandeth the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. My friend, I want to tell you this morning, God understands. Don't get caught up in the idea of thinking nobody understands. Most likely people do understand, but even if they didn't, Jesus does. He does, because he was born unto you. Unto us a child is born. Can I tell you, not only does he understand, but he goes through the same things. That's the next thing I want you to see. He understands and cares because he went through that. You know that he went through the temptations that you go through? He went through the hunger. He went through the tiredness. He went through the heavy burden, heavy load. My friend, none of us understand what a heavy load is unless we got on the cross of Jesus Christ and bear the burden of the sin of every individual from beginning to the end, of all the way to the sin in the world. Nobody understands what a weight on somebody's shoulder is. Jesus does. For us to think that Jesus doesn't understand is ridiculous. He understands times a million what we understand. And he bore it. You think that you have a heavy load? My friend, when Jesus went to the cross and he bore all of our sins, it would have crushed us in a split second. We couldn't handle it. But yet he knows. But can I tell you, when you're tempted with the struggles and the temptations of the things in life, when you're tempted, he knows and he understands. He understands when you're tempted to look at the things you ought not look at. He understands because he was tempted, yet without sin. For us to think, well, Jesus really wasn't. He was God, so he didn't really understand the difficult situation that we're in 2021. He just doesn't know because he lived in a different time. My friend, I want to tell you, he understands greater than we know. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, yet without sin. He does understand. You think that you're the only one. Nobody has the problems that I do. Nobody's experiencing this. Nobody. No, Jesus does. He was tempted just like you were. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was. His temptations in the wilderness. And all of his life, for 33 years, that human being was tempted. Does Jesus understand? You better believe he does. He knows. Yet, for unto you was born this day. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And can I tell you that he cares about the temptations that you're going through? The difficulties that you're going through. Whether you're a little child here today, children, I want to tell you something that Jesus understands and he cares. He cares about what you struggle with. He knows, kids. He knows, every one of you kids. He knows, you teenagers that are out there. I want to tell you something. The difficult time in your life that you're living right now, Jesus understands. And can I tell you that he cares? And he wants to carry your burden and carry your sorrow right with you. He came to bear that. For unto us a child is born. Adult, I want to tell you something. You might be one that's thinking that nobody understands and nobody cares. Nobody's tempted like you. But can I tell you that Jesus was born unto you? He does care and he does know. And he came to help you through. He came to pick you up. He came to carry you. For unto us a child is born. You're here and you're an older individual and you say, you know what? Life is about gone. What do I have to live for? And nobody understands the situation. Nobody seems to care about me. Nobody comes to visit. Nobody calls. Nobody writes. Whatever, I want to tell you something that's probably not true, but even if it is true, Jesus does. You say, I feel all alone. I want to tell you something. You want to talk about an individual that felt all alone when his father turned his back on him when he was on the cross. We have no clue what it means to be alone. So you see, we can't give any excuses. He does know, and he does care. He knows. He knows your situation. He knows. For unto us a child is born. Can I tell you, when we read, for unto us a child is born, it's not just some of these other things. He knows, he cares, he understands. But he enjoys and loves you. He chose to come and be with you. He wanted to. Do you know that the greatest joy that Jesus gets is to come and be with his people? Now that's amazing to me, that all of these things, yeah, we can say that he came, he had to come and bear my sin. He had to come and understand my temptation so he could help me. He had to come and do that, but he chose to do it because he loves you. He chose to do it because he delights in you. That's another incredible thing that we can see here. He wants to. I'm reminded in John chapter 13 when he gets ready to tell his disciples, I'm leaving. He didn't say, I'm leaving and I can't wait to leave you. He says, I leave. He says, I'm going to leave you. But he makes at the end of verse 1, he says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He wasn't, you know, if you ever, you know, the kids are just like, you know what, 10 more seconds of the school year, and at the end of the school year, and I'm out of here. I'm out of here. You know, you're at work. You can't wait. It's going to be Christmas, you know, break, and you get a couple days off or whatever like that, and you're counting down, you know, just another hour of work, and I'm out of here, right? That was never part of Jesus' attitude in relationship to humanity. No. No, he wanted to be with them. He wanted to be right there in the middle of them. That's the God that we serve. That's the Jesus that came and lived among us. I don't understand Revelation 4:11 now. Again, reference to God. I don't understand that, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Jesus was the creator. I want to tell you something. He created us for his pleasure. He loves us. He cares about us. We see that. For unto us a child is born. He willingly came to be with you. And last of all, we see, unto us, a child is born. He came to save us. He came to deliver us from our sin. He came to deliver us from our sin. He came to deliver us to himself for eternal life. What a tremendous thing. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The love of God coming to heal us. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus came for us. Christian, friend, can I tell you? Jesus came to you to be everything to you. After this message, there's nobody in this room who's left on a deserted desert island. Maybe that stamps out your little fire. But I want to tell you something. It should be a blessing to you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And he does. For unto us a child is born. That is personal for you. And there's not any exceptions in this room. Father, thank you so much that you came for me. God, thank you. And you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm going to go through tomorrow. You know what I went through last week. God, you know, and you care. And you love, and you delight. And you delivered. God, thank you so much. Lord, help us to see this personalized Christmas present for us in the person of Jesus Christ. God, what a blessing. Do now in hearts and lives what you want to do. May we be thankful. May we be appreciative. May we be mindful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.